Has Belize been on your bucket list destination list? Would you love to catch a tarpon, bonefish, and permit all in the same trip, maybe even the same day? Imagine 85 degree weather, departing from your private cabin at your lodge and on the tip of an island on the coast of Belize. Today, Damian Nuri is here to take us into one of the biggest named lodges in Belize, and today we find out how to put this trip together. This is the Wet Fly Swing Podcast, where I show you the best places to travel to for fly fishing, how to find the best resources and tools to prepare for this trip, and what you can do to give back to the fish species you love. Hey, I'm Dave, host of the Wet Fly Swing Podcast. I've been fishing since I was a kid. I grew up around a fly shop and have created one of the largest fly fishing podcasts in this country. And I've also interviewed more of the greatest fly anglers from around the world than just about anyone. Today, Damian Nuri is here to take us into Blue Horizon Belize, one of the most well-known lodges and some of the greatest fly fishing in this part of the world. He goes into his three best tips for getting prepared to take on this big trip and what you can do if you are trying to target permit. He's got three big tips that are going to help you probably catch your first fish if you go on this trip or anywhere around the world. Plus, we're going to find out who Lincoln Westby is and how this 83-year-old founder of Blue Horizon is still guiding and going strong. This is a great story. So without further ado, here we go. Damian Nuri from BlueHorizonBelize.com. How you doing, Damian?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're going to discuss a hot topic that comes up quite a bit, Belize, and I think you guys have the opportunity for a grand slam. We're going to dig into not only the fishing, but just the history. I think you have a lodge that's well-known just from the history, some of the people that have been through there. So we're going to talk about everything around Belize and the trip and what it takes to put it together, and we're doing a giveaway. So we're actually giving away a trip for somebody to win a spot at this to head out here. So, but before we get there, take us back real quick. I want to hear how you got into it. How'd you get into fly fishing? What was your first memory?
So I grew up in the Midwest and I had no idea what fly fishing was. I grew up fishing worms and catching, bullheads I think they were called bullheads, little catfish, and was way into the sport of snowboarding. And so after high school, had to get to the mountains. I ended up going to school at the University of Montana in Missoula. And that year, my freshman year, my roommate was from Pennsylvania, and he was obsessed with fly fishing to the point where, Friday and Saturday nights as a freshman, we're all going out looking for, trying to get into trouble. And, he would stay at home, stay back at the dorm, tying flies, and so that he could get up early and go fishing the next day. And I just had no idea what he was even up to. Fast forward like a year, I'm at a friend's house. He has a roommate that just moved in from South Carolina, North Carolina, one of the Carolinas, somewhere on the East Coast, and moved out to Missoula specifically to become a fly fishing guide. And he was looking for someone to be a never ever guinea pig. So I was like, yeah, I'll give this a go. And we floated the Bitterroot River. I caught a whitefish on the very first cast I ever touched a fly rod. That was the last fish I caught that day. But still, this is close to 30 years ago. I can remember my two friends, the guide and then my other buddy that was into fly fishing, casting tiny little baitist dry flies to big rainbows and just being mesmerized by that. And, I got to learn how to do that. That's where it all started, steamrolled, kept going, eventually became fly fishing guide out here in Oregon on the Deschutes, opened a bird hunting preserve lodge / fly fishing lodge, and sold all of those businesses in 2016. And that's when I moved down to Belize to start working at Turner Flats and helping manage and run the fishing program for Turner Flats. And that's really like my first introduction to working in Belize. I'd fished down in Belize quite a bit, all over the place, from San Pedro all the way down Florida. And then, after Turniff, kind of took a little break from all fly fishing and ended up starting a consulting business. A year later, was contacted by the parent company of Blue Horizon to come in and do basically an assessment as to, you know, what's going on with Blue Horizon. We've got this great business, but doesn't seem to make money. Did a 3-month deep dive, gave them the proposal, and they're like, okay, we'd love for you to stay on and take this over. And that is the story. So I took over in 2018 and have been working with, for the most part, Blue Horizon, but also other organizations, Lodges in Belize, Copal Tree, and the Garbets, Thatch Key, all in Southern Belize. And I mean, that's where I'm at right now. The reason why I was late for this podcast was because I got delayed coming back from Belize last night.
That's awesome. And so going back, this is cool. I want to dig into more a little bit here on the Deschutes. So was this your own guiding operation?
It took a number of iterations. I started off, purchased the outfitting business from Numbut Flight Company. It sounds like you have some history in the area.
Yeah, I do. That's kind of my, yeah, the Deschutes is kind of like my home water. So I know a little bit of the history there.
Yeah. So I was with Numbut, bought that outfitting permit with Chris O'Donnell, actually. And we did that for a year. Then he ended up going his direction. I ended up partnering with Flying Field Outfitters and was partner and basically the outfitting manager there for a couple of years. And then that's when I had an opportunity to purchase a piece of property and start the bird hunting preserve. And that's when I ended up starting my own business called Deep Canyon Outfitters. We mostly ran camp trips from really in the Upper River, Warm Springs down to Maupin. We did the occasional steelhead specific swing trips down below, but most of our customers were into trout fishing. And then by fall, we would be doing, you know, September, October, November, we would be doing steelhead trips in the Upper River.
Gotcha. That's cool. Nice. So when you landed, that's a great story because you landed at Blue Horizon. At the time, did you know, I mean, you must have known the history of, I mean, it's pretty well known. I think there's one old gentleman there that's kind of famous, right? At the lodge, I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Yeah, Lincoln. So yeah, of course I knew of the history of Blue Horizon. It's got a very fabled history and it's a very unique location. My first taste of that fishery though, the fishery in Southwater Key Marine Reserve, basically it goes from the town of Placentia all the way up to just a little north of Dangriga. So it's a very big fishery. If you're fishing out of Placentia, you don't often overlap if you're, you know, with any of the guides or the areas to the north, unless you're really making long runs. But my first experience was actually through Tarpon Key Lodge. And that was when Charlie Leslie owned it. And I was there fishing with Charlie. And it was a very interesting experience because, you know, like guides anywhere on any river, especially famous ones, tend to have, you know, an opinion of their nearest competitor, and it's not often flattering.
Right.
And so I had this impression of Lincoln as being kind of a jerk, to be honest. And so when it was my first opportunity to meet Lincoln in person, I was pretty nervous just because what I had heard through the team at Tarpon Key, but then also one of the other individuals that was trying to basically manage the fishing program before I took it over at Blue Horizon. And there was just a lot of butting heads. And the moment I met Lincoln, I was like, I don't know what anybody else is talking about. This is like the greatest gentleman I've ever met in my entire life. You can just, you get around him, you're just like, his joy of being out on the water is contagious and you just want more. He's an amazing, very, very amazing human.
Yeah. So let's just jump into the trip itself. So we are in the process now, just launched this giveaway that is live. And I want to talk about the trip, what people are going to get if they enter this, and talk a little about your lodge. So what makes, you know, Blue Horizon, what makes it unique, stand out from some of the other places around there?
A few of the things that really set Blue Horizon apart from other competitors and other operations in our area is definitely the guide staff. First and foremost, it'd be the guide staff. Location is a very big key to this. We've got very good internet on the island. We've got great air conditioning, great food, great customer service. But by hands down, I would say the unique thing and what brings me back and why I want to continue to keep going back to Blue Horizon myself is definitely the guides and the fishing. A few of the things about the guides that is different at Blue Horizon than anywhere else that I've ever been. And I've traveled to a number of locations. I've worked within the industry at a number of different capacities as a guide, as a manager, you know, both internationally and domestically. And I've never, ever been to another place, another fishing lodge, where the guides have dinner and happy hour every night with the guests.
Oh, that's awesome.
So our lodge is set up that there's like the guests, there's like the mingle area, the guide table, the guest table. And in the evenings, in the mornings, everybody's just kind of hanging out, talking fishing, talking life, not always just, you know, so singular around fishing, but talking about other things. Kind of a side note, a lot of the Belizeans know more about politics in the United States than, I mean, certainly than I do.
Oh, really?
They love talking about politics in the U.S.
That always goes. The funny thing about that is that, you know, that's one of those rules that you hear, like, as a guide, right? You don't ever talk politics or religion, right, when you're on a guide trip. So this is a little bit different.
Totally. Well, I mean, it's like they don't, the way they talk about it, it's not like they're getting in and sharing their opinion. It's curiosity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why do you guys like this? Why do you like that? You
right.
know? But they know a lot about it. And especially right now, like, this last trip, everybody was talking about, you know, the upcoming presidential elections.
Sure.
And yada, yada. I'm just like, man, I'll worry about that like the day before we have to vote. I'm not worried about that.
No.
So, but hanging out with the guides, you get to connect with them on a more personal level other than just them doing a job for you. And why that's important for me, what I've seen is that these bonds are created between guide and guest. And I mean, you want to go out and like, they want to get that fish just as bad as you do. You know, they're going to try and try and try and try and do everything they possibly can to help you catch the fish you want to catch. It's not uncommon for the guides at Blue Horizon to put in up to double digit hour days. Hmm. I mean, if you get a permit, a bonefish, and all you need is that tarpon, they're not going to be like, oh, it's 8 hours. The day is done. We got to go now. No, they're going to do everything they possibly can until either it's just not going to happen or it's straight up dark. I mean, we've had guides, they come back in the dark, putting in long days.
Amazing. And who are, maybe describe some of these guides. Are they kind of local guides? Or is there a mix of people out there?
All the guides for Blue Horizon are all local Belizeans. Belize has a really cool, unique rule that to be a tour guide, whether that's, you know, snorkeling, scuba diving, taking jungle tours, you have to be a naturalized citizen first. So for me personally to go and do that, I would have to live in Belize for a calendar year and not leave for more than 2 weeks at one time, 14 days total at one time, total throughout the year. So then I would get residency, and then I would still have to go take the guide school course, which takes months, and you got to take a test. Not to mention just knowing all the intricacies of being on the ocean. So Lincoln Weston is still our head guide at 83.
Wow, he's 83.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
And he's just like this bubbly little kid at times, especially when the fishing's good. It's hilarious.
Imagine yourself surrounded by pristine waters, towering mountains, and the thrill of landing a trophy fish like the majestic Arctic grayling or the elusive bull trout. Take a look for yourself at nradventures.com/wetflyswing and discover the Northern Rockies like never before. That's N as in Northern, R as in Rockies, adventures.com. You support this podcast by checking in at nradventures.com. As we kick off another big season of fly fishing, I'd like to connect you with Drifthook to make sure your fly selection is seamless this year. Drifthook has everything from nymphs to dry flies, hoppers, streamers, and of course, their Euro nymph fly kits. You can order right now at drifthook.com. That's D-R-I-F-T-H-O-O-K, drifthook.com, and use the code SWING at checkout to get 15% off your first order. You know, from an outsider, again, I haven't been there, but my take on it from being around fly fishing for, you know, the last 10 years, you know, is that this guy is just bigger than, you know what I mean? He's just one of those guys that you have to get there to meet, and especially the fact that, wow, he's 83. I mean, there's a lot of 83-year-olds in this country that aren't doing very well. You know, I mean, like, that's, for me, I think it would be amazing to meet that guy. Just be like, wow, that you're still doing it strong.
I mean, he has some ailments. Yeah. He's not immune to ailments. But for the most part, the dude is like, he's very healthy. And we always put a younger guide out on the boat with him.
Sure.
You know, he's training up the next generation. Two of our young guides that mostly focus in other parts of our business, doing day trips out of Hopkins, working with their other resorts out of Hopkins and Thatch Key area, and servicing the clientele up in that area. He's trained both of those two guides. And I mean, they're doing amazing. They're doing very, very well. Catching fish, getting great reviews, doing great. And so bringing up a third younger, I mean, 20 or 21, Damon is his name. And he's going to be great. I mean, he's already amazing. So yeah, Lincoln still out there doing his thing, has a helper so that, you know, pushing the boat. And Damon's eyes are amazing. They're what, you know, Lincoln's eyes probably were 50 years ago. But you still get like this great combination of Lincoln has this history in this fishery and these flats. And I mean, his style of fishing, when you get in his boat, it's not uncommon to go, instead of fishing from north to south or east to west or whatever the direction of the flat is, the top end to the bottom end of the flat, he drives right to where the most likely spot is to find the fish, kills the motor, and usually within 20, 30 yards of drifting, you're on a fish.
Nice.
And, or you pull in and, I mean, there's times he'll be like, okay, the water's not moving the way I want it to. Let's reel up. We'll come back here in like an hour. I mean, he's just got this intimacy with the fishery and the ocean, and it's really uncanny. And yeah, going down through the list of guides, we've got one of our top requested guides is named Dan. Dan is incredible. Dan was been in fly fishing for a number of years, but it was never his full-time gig until we reopened Blue Horizon. And he has dedicated himself. And in the last 3 years, he has really like made a name for himself as far in the community as not just being an amazing commercial angler and, you know, a seaman, you know, someone that knows the ocean like the back. And he catches a lot of permit.
Yeah. So that's part of the thing down there that you guys like with the fishing opportunities is permit down there. Is it just as hard to catch them down there as anywhere else in the area or the world, or talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, permit are challenging to catch, I think, no matter where you're at.
Yeah.
There's lots of different intricacies with that. But what makes our fishery so unique from a fishing standpoint is the fact that the consistency. So you're going to get shots. And when the fishing's good, I mean, you're going to get a lot of shots. I would say on average, it's realistic expectation to go out and get 10 shots at permit every day.
Wow.
And when it's really good, you're going to get one or two shots every time the boat pulls over. And that might be, you know, 15 or 20 times a day or more.
Amazing.
The other part about this fishery that's very unique is that it's shallow water. It's typically, we're going to be casting to fish in, you know, knee deep to thigh deep water. And most of your shots, when you see the fish or when you first identify the fish, it's going to be a tailing fish. And so it's very exciting. It's very visual. It's a lot of fun. But because they're in shallow water, I would say their wariness goes up a little bit. It's almost like Spring Creek fishing for tournament.
Right. This is awesome. Yeah. So this is actually pretty cool because there are going to be plenty of opportunities likely. And the time I think we're looking at doing this, at least for the giveaway, and I think maybe in the future, is kind of mid-August. So talk about that time frame. What's going on with permit that time frame, then also maybe some other species?
My personal favorite months to fish are going to be in the summertime. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, our popular season really is getting started right now. Go by mid-February through early June, we'll be totally booked. The last couple of years, I mean, we've been 100% capacity. There's a lot of anglers out on the water. The fishing is still good. It's, I mean, March and April can be incredible fishing, but you rarely, like, you feel the other anglers around. You see the other anglers, you know, the other fly shops or the other fly lodges, the other resorts in the area that just have day trip guides coming out of. You've got some client guides that have developed their clientele over the last 40 years. And so they don't really even advertise. Their guests just come and stay at random places and they go out fishing every day. And so it's possible during the peak season to not have like a solitary experience, where in the summertime, it's very common to go out and, you know, maybe you see another Blue Horizon boat for the day. Maybe you don't see anybody else out fly fishing.
Wow.
And I don't think you necessarily see, you don't always see the numbers that you would see in like March or April, but the fish that you see, they're just not pressured. They, I mean, you can tell that they're not quite as wary. And then we also have a lot of migratory tarpon that time of year, and that can be very consistent and very good. That can be great fishing for the migratory tarpon. And then bonefish, any day of the year, you can go out and catch bonefish. I mean, it's nearly a guaranteed catch. We don't have the variety of bone fishing locations that other parts of Belize have, but we do have the ability to just go catch bonefish.
Right. God, this is cool. Yeah, so basically the summer, I mean, I can see obviously this time of year, it's freezing cold in the States in a lot of places, so getting to Belize right now would be cool too. But obviously, like you're talking about, getting without having a lot of people around you is definitely a big draw. What is the lodge? Where is the lodge located, like, as far as from Belize? Talk about how you get there. Somebody was coming down, let's say, from somewhere in the United States. What's that process look like?
Yeah, so it's pretty easy. You'll take your international flight from wherever you're at in the States to Belize City. There's direct flights from Houston, Dallas, Miami, Atlanta, LA, Seattle, Denver, and Newark. There's a bunch of direct flights into Belize. Once you get into Belize, clear customs and immigration, the easiest way to get down to us is to jump on a commuter flight. And that's like, takes maybe 45 minutes. And basically you jump in a caravan with max of 14 passengers and you fly right over the ocean or right over the jungle and then drop down into Placencia, the village of Placencia, where we will have our driver there to pick you up. And then we drive approximately 20 minutes to the marina and hop on a boat. And depending on the ocean conditions, it's about 9 miles away. So it takes us anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes to get out to Blue Horizon.
And is Blue Horizon from Placencia, which way? Is it just straight out or is it up north?
Yeah, it's north. So Blue Horizon is very strategically located, like right in the heart of this entire fishery. It's pretty cool too, because you can fish within eyesight of Blue Horizon and make an entire day of it, no problem. Or you can go way to the north, go way up past into the Sandfly Range. I mean, Sandfly on a calm day, that would take you probably 30, 35 minutes motoring. So it's, reasonably not that bad. If it's a little rougher, it's going to, you know, take a little longer. But if you were to go straight to Sandfly, you would be passing miles and miles of different flats, so many different flats. So like we can fish your way up there. And then driving, taking a boat down to Placencia, it would take a good 40 minutes. So Blue Horizon is located right in the middle of this particular fishery.
Yeah, right in the middle. Yeah. And what it is, and I don't know, I mean, just look at it. When you look at it on a map, you've got what, like a chain kind of these different flats, islands out there? Do you know kind of a little bit of the geology there? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, this particular, so it's all going to be hard coral flats and they're, you know, kind of the pancake style. So it's going to be very deep edges. A lot of the channels around, I mean, if you pull it up on Google Earth, you can see that there's deep areas that are much, very noticeably darker color, deeper areas. Most of these channels inside the reef, there's some spots that are going to be, you know, over 100 feet deep, but I would say a lot of them are going to be anywhere from 30 to 80 feet deep. And so it's this beautiful habitat for lots of different species. But I mean, permit love this. They can come up onto the flats, feed, and quickly get off into the safety of deep water. Most of our flats are going to be lined with big coral heads. So snorkeling in our area is like hands down some of the best in all of Belize.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it's right in front of Blue Horizon. We've got a coral patch that is just beautiful. And there's, I mean, all kinds of crazy reef species that live right there. So a lot of the flats are going to be, I mean, there are, it's this very interesting diversity. So right around Blue Horizon and then more to the south is going to be very south, and then out to the reef really is going to be very much hard coral flats. As you start moving more to the north, the flats transition to a little bit softer, more turtle grassy. A lot of the time they're in and around mangrove islands. They share more characteristics of the northern part of Belize.
Wow, this is cool. Yeah, I mean, as you, it's a, yeah, I'm sure you're probably still learning stuff. I mean, as you've been there now, how many years have you been working at Blue Horizon?
So I've been there since 2018.
Yeah, 2018. And when you compare it to, you know, the stuff you were doing back on, you know, Oregon Deschutes, how does it compare, like the fishing stuff you're doing there versus now? I know it's totally different, but I'm just curious from your perspective.
I mean, it's, yeah, very, very, very different. I mean, the style of fishing is, you know, it's definitely more of a hunt game. I mean, there's some similarities in that you got to be stealthy. You can't just charge at a fish and start throwing flies willy-nilly. You know, you got to think through the process and try and set yourself up for good casts and good shots, you know, so that you can get these fish to eat, because they're very cautious. They've got great big eyeballs, and they really will inspect. And I mean, they're notorious for coming up, looking at a fly, teasing you, and then taking off without your fly. You know, they're just like, nope, that one didn't work.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's night and day difference. It's completely different species, different style of fishing. Similarities, though, are definitely just being out in nature, man.
Yeah.
You know, getting away, the crowds and the desk and the computers and the technology and all of that.
That's right. What is the, is there a chance during August to get like a pretty good chance to get all three of those species, or how does that look?
Yeah, it's a very good chance. So the summertime, part of what, another element that makes it my favorite is you can go fish for permit in the morning when the tide is, you know, the ideal tide for permit, or maybe it's later in the day. But when you've got a lower tide that maybe isn't bringing enough water onto all the flats, or it's not causing the water to rush across the flats, and that's something that's very important, you can go up tarpon fishing. And we've got a couple of little places for tarpon. Right in front of Blue Horizon Lodge, there's a school of tarpon that live there. It can be very easily accessed. It's not uncommon if you get a nice calm morning. We'll wake up, the guides will wake up, and if you see them out there rolling around, we just jump in the boats, go fish for 30, 40 minutes, and then come back in for breakfast, grab some coffee and head out, catch some fish, then come back in. So you have really good opportunity to catch tarpon that time of year.
Okay.
And then, so if you catch your permit, you catch tarpon. Bonefish are honestly most of the time the easiest one in the equation. And so most of the time that would be the last fish that the guides will try and go catch.
Right, gotcha. Yeah, you start with the hardest permit is typically the harder one to catch out there, and then tarpon.
Definitely. I mean, some days the tarpon, you get up to where they like to be and where they're consistent in the summertime, and they're not really doing their thing. They're not around. And so that can happen, but you know, typically if you get up there when the tide is starting to move, either coming or going, those tarpon are going to be pretty active, and they're pretty willing to eat a fly. And I've been in the tarpon channel many times where there's, you know, three or four boats up there, and within, you know, 30, 40 minutes, everybody's hooked up or jumped a tarpon or two. And so it's really fun. You get to see other boats. You get to see your friends if you're there with a group, or, you know, if you've made new friends at the lodge. So it can be a lot of fun as far as that goes.
Gotcha. Good. So, and is that the Grand Slam? Is it those three species, or is there another one that makes it the Grand Slam down there?
So the Grand Slam is three of four species all in one day. So it's either a bonefish, permit, tarpon, and snook. Three of those. So you can technically get a Grand Slam without catching a permit.
Oh, right.
Or if you catch all four, then that's the Super Slam. And we actually just had to catch one of those a couple weeks ago.
God, that's great. So if somebody is listening now and they're obviously, you know, getting fired up for this, it sounds like the lodge, I'm guessing, is, I mean, I can just see where it's located. I mean, it's unbelievable, right on the northern tip. So this, the Northeast Key, is that kind of where you launch the boats and go through that area? Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah, so Northeast Key is the island that is where Blue Horizon Lodge is located. And so from there, so the guides all stay on the island with us, with the guests, and each night, you know, they get together and they're like, okay, we're looking at the tides, we want to do breakfast at 6 and leave at 6:30, or maybe it's the tide is late, so we're going to do, you know, a 7 o'clock breakfast and 7:30 departure. You know, it just kind of depends on when the tide is going to be, and then they'll pack it up and head out from there. A couple of things, I mean, I was just down this last week and went out one morning, fished two flats, and then all of a sudden just like the blackness came in and just consumed every direction with rain. So we just zipped back to the lodge and went and dried off and put on new clothes and hung out for about an hour until the rain stopped and went back out.
What's the temperature like there, like right now?
Right now, I mean, it's basically like 80, 85 out on the ocean year round. When the wind goes calm, and we had a day last week where it went just like slick, glass calm, like couldn't hardly tell what the difference was between the ocean and the sky, kind of glass. I mean, we were sweating. We were out on the ocean and it was hot and sweaty and very sunny and, you know, lots of buffs and hoodies and, you know, everything was covered, drinking lots of water. Summertime, everybody thinks, oh, it must be really hot in the summertime. The hottest month is actually May, and that is mostly because the winds are the least likely to be like big winds in May, and it's the driest month. So the temperatures tend to come up. But even in the summertime, I mean, 90 degrees out fishing is going to be, I mean, warmer than that, it would be rare. Now, if you go into the mainland, into the jungle, you could be 95 and 100% humidity, and it could be, you know, stifling. But out on the ocean, typically you're going to have a little bit of a breeze, and it's going to be a little cooler.
Nice. I want to get into a few kind of tips, you know, maybe if somebody's thinking about heading down there to get prepared, and maybe when they're on the water to potentially get a few fish, maybe a Grand Slam or something like that. But talk about the lodge a little bit. Describe that. What is the lodge? Is this kind of, how would you describe that lodge, and what could people expect?
How I would describe the lodge is it's the place that I want to go and hang out with my friends and go fishing. There's 5 guest rooms, 10 guests total. So each room has 2 full-size beds, air conditioning, private bathroom, island-wide Wi-Fi. So basically anywhere you walk on the island, you can get connected to the net. You can do Wi-Fi calling and streaming and just about, you know, it's very high quality. So you can do just about whatever you need to stay connected with friends, family, even work. That's something you need to incorporate into your fishing vacation. So there's 2 standalone cabins, and then there's a unit that has 3 of the rooms that are connected, but they're like, you know, it's kind of like going to, I guess, a motel or something, you know, where they're individual rooms. You don't hear each other in each room, but you walk out on the deck and I can socialize with each other. So if you have, you know, groups of 6, ideal. Everybody can hang out. We've got great views from up there. We've recently been working with a friend of mine, David Danforth, the artist. He has come out and done a couple of murals. So he came out this last summer and did a giant permit mural, and then came back in the fall and did a tarpon mural. And at some point we'll bring him back down and he's going to finish it off with a bonefish on one of the outside walls. I mean, it's somewhat protected. I mean, if we've got a strong prevailing wind out of the northeast or the north, we're going to take it pretty good. But
yeah, you're right on the tip, right?
Yeah. But you really don't even notice that so much. Our lodge itself is, you know, it's small, it's quaint, it's a great size. It doesn't need to be any bigger. It's also, it's an open air lodge. So, I mean, you're out in the elements. We can, if it starts raining, we can, we've got shutters and plastic. We can lock it down so to keep it dry. But that's, you know, a lot of people come and hang out and socialize. There's a little beach right in front and it's quite nice.
Yeah, sounds great. So you said snook was the fourth species that's in the Grand Slam, right?
Yeah.
Why is snook, you know, kind of the fourth? It seems like that's always the out of the, it's included in the Grand Slam, but it always seems like it's the fourth species. Why is that?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe because it's not as glamorous. It could also be because it's a very delicious fish to eat.
Oh, it
so
is.
Like in Belize, bonefish, permit, and tarpon are all mandatory catch and release. When the guides hook one of these, they cannot keep that. And so commercial anglers can't keep those. Anytime somebody would bycatch a permit or tarpon, they're supposed to put it back. Where snook, I mean, a commercial angler can take that to the market and get a premium price for it. And it is. It snook's delicious. So maybe that's part of it.
Want to experience a magic trick? On a certain river, at a certain time of day, time slows down. Where is this place? Located in the heart of Montana is a place where people go to slow things down, to float down a historic river, and to watch the birds dance across the sky. Watch animals explore the open land, and of course, to fish. If you're looking to slow things down, Helena, Montana is waiting for you. Visit Helena, Montana right now. You can head over to helenamt.com to get a change of pace this year. Trout Routes is the most comprehensive mapping app for trout anglers. With over 50,000 trout streams, 350,000 access points, public land maps, and more, Trout Routes is the number one resource for navigating, researching, and exploring trout streams. You can download Trout Routes for free in the App Store today. Just search for Trout Routes on your phone and take your exploration to the next level. That's Trout Routes, TroutRoutes. What are the meals? What's that look like at the lodge? Talk about that. What are people, could they expect for food?
Yeah, we incorporate very Belizean type cuisine as much as possible and seafood. So every meal, every dinner is going to have either appetizer or main course will be seafood. I mean, some of our signature dishes. So we do this great dish that's a very traditional Belizean dish called sere. And sere is like a seafood stew made out of coconut milk, plantain, cassava. And then, you know, it really just depends on what seafood is available. Most of the time we have conch and lobster and shrimp and some fish in it. Or certain times of year, conch is out of season, or certain times of year, lobster is out of season. So, you know, we don't have those, but yeah, it's got some sort of seafood in it. It's very, and then you put like a coconut rice into the stew, and it's just this like very delicious, hearty stew. What is other ones? Shrimp or lobster pizzas, great appetizer. So Sundays in Belize, there's a traditional meal. It's just called Sunday dinner, and it's stewed chicken, rice and beans, fried plantain, and potato salad. And majority of that country is going to be eating that at some point. And so on Sundays, that's always a hit. You know, we do this like slow cooked chicken that is just like has these great spices and it just like falls off the bone. It's quite delicious. I don't eat meat anymore. So I'm going off of my old deliciousness memories of this particular meal.
Nice. Well, let's jump into a few tips because I want to talk, you know, if people... First, we got somebody that's going to win this trip. That's definitely, we want to get him or that or her set up so they can, you know, have good success there. But also just anybody else that comes out throughout the year. So let's start with, do you have any high level things that you tell people before they get up to get ready to get in position to? Yeah.
There's a few things that like the kind of the basics. And when talking to guests, talking to people that are kind of new to permit fishing or new to saltwater fishing, you know, it's like every fishing. Nothing is completely universal and set for every experience. But in general, a few things, especially in this particular fishery, that are going to be helpful. When you see the permit, you get set up and your guide's like, okay, make the cast. Try to put the fly as close to the fish as possible. You definitely want it to be in its vision passage. you know, casting towards its eyes and its mouth and its head versus its tail. But don't be alarmed to make that cast, have the fly hit and have the fish spook off. It seems very counterintuitive, but that particular little tip, the more directly right at the fish that you can cast, the more likely you are to get a hookup. If you are leading a permit by a long ways, it's very common for permit don't always move in straight lines. Sometimes they move in straight-ish lines, but a lot of times they'll feed, and then go off and move. And especially when we're having a tailing permit, if they are really digging hard and their focus is down in the coral, you can cast that fly right to them and they will not spook. They won't notice it. And as that fly sinks into position, you know, once they do notice it, they'll be more reactive that way. Similarly, when you do spook a fish, don't freak out. Best thing to do is actually do nothing. Just let the fly sit there for a moment, because it's also not uncommon for the fish to spook and then be like, oh, we're good. All's chill, and go right back to where they were feeding.
Right.
And I don't know if they were like digging for a crab or a shrimp or a sea urchin or whatever they were looking for. Right in that spot, a lot of times they come right back to it, because whatever they were focused on, they want still. And if your fly is sitting right there, I mean, that's like perfect. Another big thing that I hear from the guides and that I have personally experienced is the stripping rate. Especially in our fishery, we tend to use a lot of crabs. And so less movement is better. Even when the guide is like getting excited, like, oh, he's on it, you know, strip it. You want to try and keep a very slow, short distance strip. It's not this like slow, long distance. You can do that, but basically what I personally think about is trying to just keep the line tight enough or just barely past where it's going to create slack. And in doing that, the fly doesn't travel a great distance. It doesn't move a long ways. And I mean, that's been a very big help with my own fishing in this particular fishery. Along similar lines, when a fish does key in on your fly and, you know, you can see the fish turning towards where you know, the end of your fly line or where you think your fly would be, and the guide's like, oh, he's on it, or, you know, they've picked it up or whatever they say. In that moment, you tend to want to keep stripping. The worst thing you can do is keep stripping. The best thing you can do is just stop the fly. The way crabs move is they're going to flee and then hide. And so by stopping the fly, stopping the retrieve, your fly starts to sink and it actually imitates what a real crab would be doing, where it's sinking down and it's going to try and bury itself. I can't tell you how many hookups I've gotten by stopping the fly, stopping the retrieve. And anticipating that, you know, anticipating that if I stop the fly, this is probably going to entice, you know, don't just stop the fly and kind of give up, you know, but be ready to do a strip set. If you see the fish tip or move, or, I mean, sometimes they just inhale it and take off. Those are, you know, some of the big ones.
Yeah, those are good. Those are great.
Definitely casting close to the fish, not stripping quickly and or much, and then stopping if, you get the fish's attention. Those are really pretty big ones.
Yeah. Would that apply also to some of the other species?
To some of the other species? Sure. I mean, they're all seem to be, you know, kind of unique. Bonefish typically will chase. You don't have to stop the fly. The more you actually move the fly, the more like fired up a lot of times they get. But again, nothing's universal. Tarpon, in our fishery, a lot of the tarpon we're doing is in deeper water. And so we're fishing heavy sink tips. And, you know, there it's more just like rhythmic stripping. And then you feel the fish. And, you know, at that point, you try and strip set as hard as you can.
Wow. And you're talking flies. So talk a little about flies.
You know, it's a very common question I get is after somebody books is like, oh, hey, what's the hot fly right now? And the hot fly really doesn't change. I mean, if you were to talk to Lincoln, his go-to fly is the same fly he's been using for, you know, since he opened the lodge in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, he likes a tan bower crab. The other guides, every guide has their own favorite. I have my own personal favorite, but I've also tried a lot of different other flies and caught permit on basically all the classic flies. I mean, all the classic names. But most of our guides are going to be very happy to see Bowers Flats crabs in your fly box, camo crabs that can only be purchased from online from SNS Flies. They'll be happy if there's contraband crabs in your box, ragheads. And then beyond that, I mean, anything that looks, you know, very realistic crabby tends to be a very good fly. Strong arm, the flexos, those have come on and, you know, the guides have started fishing them and they've had pretty good luck on those as well. For me, the fly and permit fishing is a little similar to steelhead fishing in that the one on the end of the line is probably the one that's going to work. As long as I have confidence in it, as long as I believe it's going to work, it's probably going to work.
Nice. So that gives us a little bit of firepower there to, you know, be ready on the trip. Talk a little about, have you spent much time actually in Belize, kind of on the mainland? Is that a place that would be worth maybe an extra day or two?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've been all through the, really the entire country. There's one little gap that I've not traveled to or fished, but otherwise in the last 2 years, it's been my goal to try and fish a lot of the parts of Belize that I've never been to. And so, I mean, I've fished just about all of it. The mainland is awesome. Placencia Village is one of my favorite places to hang out. Right in the village, it's all very easy walking distance. There's great restaurants and places to, you know, get a beer or a drink. There's a little beach. You can just wander around and meet people. Awesome. It's a lot of fun. Other places, Cayo District, which is the area going towards Guatemala, so it's way up into the jungle, is really cool as well. It's a different feel than being out on the ocean or out on the Keys. It's a much different part of Belize and a different, you know, cultural part of Belize. Again, very cool activities, great food. ATM Cave is definitely one that I would put on everybody's list. You swim across or wade across this river in a couple of places before you finally get to where the river comes out of the side of a mountain in a cave. And then you jump into the river again and swim into the cave and basically go spelunking up this river cave. And then you climb up another level into a dry part of the cave. And there's all these ancient Mayan ritual sites where would have been praying to underworld, and then there's actually like skeletons where they had done human sacrifices.
Jeez.
You can just walk right all through all of it and see it all. It's amazing. It's holy cow. Incredible. And just being in this cave is incredible too.
God, this sounds awesome. So do people occasionally bring down like the family and kind of do some stuff in Belize, maybe leave the family in a, you know, hanging out, doing some stuff while you go out for a day or two to fish and then come back? Is it more you have to book it for a week out there?
No, you can definitely do, you know, bring the family. Our Blue Horizon is very much fishing focused.
Yeah.
But our parent company, a company called Muyono, they own or operate a number of other resorts. So there's a resort in the Cayo District that is, you know, in the jungle, is very much family friendly. You can take the whole family to and go do these activities. There's couple of places on the beaches in Placencia and one in Hopkins where you can do family stuff. You can grab a guide for a day. There's Thatch Key, which is another island resort. You can do the same thing where you can grab, you know, a guide for a couple of days while, you know, maybe the family goes snorkeling or scuba diving or just goes and hangs out on the beach.
Perfect. So this is good. And nice. Well, I feel like we have a little, we're touching the surface. I think we're obviously not going to get into everything today. Anything else you want to shed light on with Blue Horizon that we haven't touched on today that you'd want people to know about?
Man, I just would reiterate, you know, the guides. I mean, and I just got back from there and I was just hanging out with everybody. And so it's just, you know, it was like re-upping my enjoyment of hanging out with these particular individuals. I mean, they're not just good at taking people fishing and being out on the water and knowing where permit are. They're all like fun to talk to and hang out with. And I mean, I just think that's hugely important. I mean, if you're going to be spending 5 or 6 or more days fishing with the same guide or in the same boat, it's very important to be able to relate to them in some way, more than just going fishing, you know, and having conversations and learning about their lives and their knowledge. So I think we have the greatest guide staff in all of Belize. And I take a lot of pride in that because it took me a while to get down there and fish with a lot of the guides in the area before finding this group and being like, okay, I want you guys to work for Blue Horizon.
Right. Wow. Yeah. For me, I think that that's really one of the things that really appeals about this whole thing is that, you know, I think when you travel, that's the greatest thing is getting into the community and learning about their, you know, how they do it. And so the fact that you're talking to these local, you know, people that are, you know, you can learn all sorts of cool stuff about, you know, them and the country. So I think that's really awesome to hear that.
They're very flexible. I mean, I was just, while I was down there, they were telling me about sharing with how they had some guests recently that the weather was kind of tough and the fishing was a little slow. And, you know, they kind of sent, they were maybe a little disappointed. So they caught some bait and they went out and did some jigging on the bottom and they came back and they had like a whole bunch of snapper and they had a catching experience where they were able to go out and then bring some of that back and have it for dinner. You know, where some fly fishing lodges, you know, the guides might not do that, might not be up for going and doing something like that. These guys were just like, yeah, I mean, let's go do something. Let's catch something. We're not seeing what we're here to catch, but there's other fish we can go catch.
Yeah, it's, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it sounds like fishing can be pretty good here, but it is fishing, right? So, I mean, depending on conditions, and I'm sure there's times where you get some weather that maybe stops you from going out there at times, you know, and all that, right?
For sure. I mean, anytime we get a north front, so basically it's usually a cold front that comes out of the north. The wind changes, so most of the wind is coming from the north. The air temperature tends to change. It's very common for that to bring some moisture with it. And so, I mean, it can drop into like the 70s, and 75 in Belize feels like 30 does here in Oregon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cold. Like, you see the guides and the locals, they're wearing stocking caps and they've got all their layers on and it feels pretty chilly. A north wind can be very challenging, especially also because it pushes the currents around and it moves the water. And a strong north wind or a sustained north wind, like we've got a strong north wind for 3 or 4 days, the tides won't move the way they're predicted. It'll be like, you can't even predict them. They may not even move at all. But typically when you see that, low tides will go extra low. We had really, really strong winds out of the north and literally it blew all the water off the flats. The flats that normally would be like knee deep they were just mud. They were completely dry, not for a period, a long period of time, for a couple hours, but that, you know, made it impossible for the fish that you want to fish for to get up where you want to fish for them.
Gotcha. And that's another one. I mean, Blue Horizon for sure is one of the big names you hear, but the Turnip Flats too. How is that Turnip Flats area different from where you guys fish down there?
Yeah, the Turnip Atoll is 30 miles offshore. Well, 30 miles from Belize City, I should say.
Straight out, yeah.
Yeah, straight out. It's a much different fishery. It's going to be a lot more bonefish focused, but there is some pretty good permit fishing out there as well. The tarpon fishing is year round, kind of like we are year round, but it's going to be more summer months again are going to be the best tarpon fishing over there. It's a really cool experience. I would say, you know, just like everywhere, if you get rough weather, it, you know, definitely brings the challenge quotient up for catching. From a lodge perspective, it's very nice accommodations, very, very nice. And, you know, they've just got it dialed. They've been doing it since the early 80s. So the whole program out there, just, you know, clockwork.
Nice. Well, let's take it out here in a couple. We're going to do our conservation shout out real quick, and then we'll take it out. I had a couple random ones for you. But so who is I'm guessing the Bonefish Tarpon Trust is one of the groups out there. Is that, if you had to give a shout out to some of the groups out there, is that one or are there others doing the work?
Yeah, I mean, we've done some work with them. I think, you know, if I had to give a shout out, I the owner of Turnip Flats has done more for the country of Belize than anybody else, any NGO or anything. Yeah. Craig Hayes is his name. He was very instrumental in getting the catch and release put into law. And he's been very instrumental in helping get rid of gill nets in Belize. So for a long time, gill nets were a form of fishing that was accepted in the commercial realms. And, you know, we know that they're indiscriminate killers. And in fall of 20, they passed a law in Belize that gill nets were no longer legal. And so now if the guides find any gill nets or if they see any gill nets, we can call the fisheries department and, you know, they'll come harvest them. Some of the more bold guides, none of the guides that work for Blue Horizon have done this that I know of, but some of the more bold guides will actually pull the nets and just torch them, light them on fire right there. But I mean, that can be risky. If somebody finds out you did that, they may not like that.
No.
And right now, one of the things that Craig's been working on a lot, and he's been, you know, in touch with all the ministers and in the cabinet, just showcasing the value that sport fishing brings to the country. And I don't have all the numbers committed to my memory, but it's substantial. Like, sport fishing as an industry brings more dollars to Belize than commercial fishing does. And so these surveys and studies have been done, and they were all presented to the prime minister and all of his ministers within the last couple of months. And it sounds like that's been really well received, and there's new protections that are being talked about to protect sport fishing in Belize. And so, I mean, if I'm going to give a shout out, it's got to be to Craig Hayes.
There you go. That sounds like another person I should probably try to track down, get on the podcast and hear his story.
For sure. You would enjoy that. He's a good dude.
Nice. Cool. We'll leave some of the other questions. I've got a bunch more, but we'll maybe leave it till after we finish this event and maybe for the next one. But I love to get the music or podcast question in real quick so we can get something out there maybe on our Instagram when we do it. So are you listening to more music or podcasts when you're traveling?
Oh, music, music, music.
What's your music? What type of music, band, group, or just genre? What do you listen to?
I just discovered this band. I don't even know how I got to them. It's a German, like a marching band, but it's definitely more like dance music, techno. It's called, I'll just call it M-E-U-T-E. M-E-U-T-E. I don't know how you would pronounce it, but it's pretty cool.
All right. Well, if we can track that down on our Instagram, we'll throw it in with the photo that we'll get from you here to promote this thing. And I think, Damien, we'll leave it there, and we'll send everybody out to BlueHorizonBelize.com. And also wetflyswing.com/giveaway is where people can enter right now to enter to win this trip. And, you know, if they have questions for you, obviously people can follow up and try to book a trip. It sounds like you guys are pretty booked up, but I'll have them call you or connect with you directly. But appreciate your time today and all the tips. Looking forward to working with you down the line.
Sounds great. Well, thank you, Dan, for having me on.
There it is. If you want to take this conversation further, you can head over and join our private Facebook group at Wet Fly Swing right now. Check it out, wetflyswing.com/Facebook, and you can take and ask questions. Take this a little further and figure out how you can plan this trip and dig in a little bit deeper. Thanks for stopping by today. I hope you have a great afternoon. I hope you're having a great evening or great morning wherever in the world you are. And I definitely appreciate you for stopping in today and checking out the show. You can head over anytime, wetflyswing.com/schools, if you want to check out our next trip that we have going. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Wet Fly Swing Fly Fishing Show. For notes and links from this episode, visit wetflyswing.com.